The word of God for our consideration this morning is Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." One of the things that has struck me this year, at least with the Advent services and readings, is the appearance of angels. Not only does an angel appear to Joseph in a dream, but they also appear physically to Zacharias, Mary, and the shepherds. What would it be like to see an angel? It's difficult for me to imagine. We do have descriptions of angels in the Bible, and we've all seen depictions of angels in artwork or on TV shows and films. But to have an angel standing right next to you, that'd be a lot to take in. We can see, though, how people in the Bible react to seeing angels and how the angels interact with humans. We read in Luke 1 how the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias while he is carrying out his priestly duties. Note his reaction. "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Immediately, the angel comforts him and brings him good news. He says, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.'" We see the same pattern in our text. The angel tells the shepherds not to be afraid because he is bringing them good news, the gospel message of the birth of our Savior. This morning, then, I would like us to focus as well on the message of the angels. Don't be afraid. You are saved. Why would it be scary to see an angel? I imagine a lot of us would think it'd be a really cool thing to see an angel, something we'll have to wait until heaven to see. Why then do we see the reaction of Zacharias and the need for angels to tell humans not to be afraid? If we think about it, though, I think we can begin to understand that the fear that an angel perhaps might incite in us. Angels are holy beings who spend their existence in the presence of God. One natural reaction for an imperfect, sinful human being to seeing an angel, would be to recognize how far from God's holiness he or she is. Like us, Zacharias and the shepherds would be struck with their own imperfectness and uncleanness, their total and utter inability to stand in the presence of God. Looking face to face at an angel, a reflection of God's holiness, not even God's holiness in itself, could be seen in some way similar to what happens when we really look at God's law and compare our thoughts and actions to what it demands. God says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Indeed, God would cease to be holy if he did not oppose sin. Looking at how we fail to live up to God's standards in his law is indeed terrifying. We can't find one commandment that we haven't broken by thought, word, or deed. And every day we continue to violate God's law, doing the things we are forbidden to do and failing to do the things we are commanded to do. But the accounts of Zacharias and the shepherds don't end in terrifying fear. The angels are quick to tell them to not be afraid and then, as messengers, bring wonderful news. In our text, we read that angels are bringing the good tidings of great joy to all people. Even before we get to that actual news, we have the wonderful assurance of objective justification, that the whole world is justified through Christ's death. They are all declared glory, holy. That news is for all people. No matter how sinful and undeserving we are, Christ is the born Savior for the entire world. The Son of God was born into the world, lived in the world, suffered and died in this world for the whole world's sin. That includes you, and that includes me. Those who believe are saints, holy ones, through Christ's death and resurrection. As it is put so beautifully in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has done everything for us. All we have to do is believe in him. And that belief in him is also through him, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Advent, which looks forward to Christ coming to earth, also reminds us of Christ's second coming. The sound of the trumpet on the last day could be a terrifying sound. I'm sure it will be shocking. Even referring to Christ's second coming, and rightfully so, as Judgment Day, may in itself strike terror in our conscience-stricken hearts. But we can be confident because we have already been judged. Because God sees us covered in Christ's righteousness, we are totally innocent in his eyes. We can thus look forward to the end of our lives or Christ's second coming, whichever comes first, with great comfort rather than terror. Let us then recognize our sins and confess them, but let us also not be afraid, for we are saved. We'll close with hymn 77, verses 1 and 13 and 14. 77, verses 1 and 13 and 14.